Greetings and welcome to It's About Florida. Today we have joining us Dr. Jerry Parrish with TaxWatch. Greetings.
Thank you.
And we have Jay Lyles with the Florida Wildlife Federation. Greetings to you too.
Thank you, Lynn. Good to be with you.
Today we are going to be discussing some proposals that deal with Citizens Property Insurance Corporation. Citizens is the largest property insurer in our state. It has about close to 1.3 million policies that we are, as taxpayers, if you're carrying any other kind of insurance policy, you're pretty much liable for. We have a couple of problems going on. Number one, we have a shortage of property insurers in our state. And there's also concern about the liability, financial liability that Citizens is carrying. So give us a rundown. How did we get to this point?
Well, after the series of hurricanes in 2004 and 2005, the legislature began to see that property insurance was going up tremendously. And a special session was called, and they put the mechanism in place to have Citizens take on a great deal more of the exposure by taking more policies on. And while there was a small amount of opposition to this because some people understood what the ramifications might be in the future, overwhelmingly the legislature supported that plan. And thus you saw the exponential growth of Citizens Insurance, and it went from insurer of last resort to, in many cases, the only insurer in many parts of our state.
There was an exodus of insurers after, I think, 0405. We saw several big names. I remember we got excited last year when State Farm said that it wouldn't pull out completely out of the state of Florida.
And with that was a change in the whole market, because if you can't keep your rates actuarially sound, you're not going to be able to do business. And so you had private insurers competing with Citizens Insurance and losing in that proposition. Citizens is set up in such a way as to not actuarially manage their rates. And so they charge it on the back end. Most insurance companies know what their exposure is, and they charge it in their premiums on the front end. And so that mechanism didn't work well for us, and that's why we find ourselves in this situation right now.
Dr. Parrish, let's talk about Citizens' rates. As they stand, we've all heard that they are not actuarially sound. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that basically they're too low?
Yes. What that means is over the long run, they won't be able to pay their claims based on the reserves that they're generating. And what's happened in Florida recently is the money we should have been saving for the next hurricane, a lot of that has gone to sinkhole claims. And so we're not really increasing the reserves of Citizens by a wide margin.
What's happening in the sinkhole market? One of the big high-profile events that just happened was the story of the man in Tampa who was asleep in his bed and literally a sinkhole opened up under his house.
That's a difficult market because things like other things that are liabilities for insurers are pretty easy to predict. They can predict things like automobile claims and the amount of houses that will catch on fire and burn down and those kind of things. But there are two things that Florida has a lot of risk on, and that's hurricanes and sinkholes, and both of those are very difficult to predict.
And that's a matter of Florida's geography. We sit on top of an aquifer, and clearly we are in a hurricane path.
Yes, exactly true.
Is it just too risky to live here?
And 19 million people say that it's not.
All righty. So,
but there is a cost for living in paradise, and Citizens Insurance didn't recognize that cost, and that's what we've got to balance right now.
So enter Senate Bill 1770. This proposal is quite large and it does several different things. One of the things that it does is basically say for new policyholders, you will have to pay a rate that is, I guess, fair market price for what you're getting. But what does this mean in terms of real numbers? I remember when I was shopping for a house here in Tallahassee, one of the things that they told me to estimate was calculate $1,500 for your property insurance a year. How does that weigh to what we're talking about in a Citizens policy? What exactly is, an actuarially sound rate?
Well, quite honestly, it's different in different parts of the state. The gap between what homeowners are being charged and what an actuarially sound rate is. So it's difficult to say statewide because it's significantly different, say, on the southeast part of the state of Florida. You have a high concentration of citizens' policies there, and a lot of the studies that I've seen indicate that that's one of the areas where the gap between what they're being charged and actuarially sound is large.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I was listening in to the Senate Democratic Caucus, and you had a couple lawmakers who live in places like Fort Lauderdale and Miami, and the conversation went like this. You know, one lawmaker from the north said, I don't know why, you know, we have to subsidize people who choose to live in McMansions, you know, in the south. And the lawmakers from the south said, my property insurance rate just went up to $6,000, and I have, you know, a $200,000 home. That's just an example. So is that what we are talking about here?
Yes, in some cases. Some of those changes have come from citizens reevaluating those policies and some of the discounts that they gave for mitigation in the past, plus some changes in the way they calculated replacement value of homes. And so some people have been shocked by the big change in their policies coming in once they've been renewed.
And Lynn, this brings in the reason why a lot of the conservation community got behind this bill. What we're attempting to address in a market fashion is the fact that people want to live right on the coast. And oftentimes that's in low-lying, flood-prone areas that not only provide great wildlife habitat, but they also provide us with protections. These barrier islands are the most effective source of protection against flood and wind. And as we develop them, then we're losing that protection and we're losing that recreational land and the wildlife habitat. And so when we have listened to the debate in the legislature, it's been about stopping the bleeding, quit digging the hole deeper that is citizens' insurance. And one of the – clearly the low-hanging fruit here is that land right on the coast in these coastal construction control line areas and in our coastal barrier resource units in this state that we should not be building in those areas. And we're talking about where the waves meet the sand. And if you, as we have proposed in the bill, if you say that new construction, not existing homes, but new construction would not be eligible for citizens' insurance – unless built to code plus, or as we would prefer, just not eligible for citizens' insurance, then you would give people the price signal that says maybe it's not smart to build here. Maybe we should be considering building a little further inland. And so that's why a lot of us think this is the way to go with citizens' insurance.
Another, you know, you say that and I found it interesting because one of the things I noticed about the bill was that, you know, starting in the next few years, there's also going to be policy limit drops. So I think right now the limit is 2. That would go away. It would immediately become 1 million. And then by 2019, I think the most that citizens would cover would be about $500,000, a half a million dollar home. But a half million dollar home in Miami, I would think, is different from maybe a half million dollar home in Tallahassee, as in it's more expensive to live down there.
Well, you're right. There would be a difference, but consider that you're not talking about the land. You're simply talking about the structure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so in testimony before the committee, we had very reasonable people from the insurance industry come in and say, look, you should be able to go to the private market and find insurance. So if you look at this, what they're saying is, gradually, we're going to move it down so that people who are living in high-end homes, these are just the structures and the content, are shopping in the private market where they should be able to find insurance.
How do you find insurance, though, in a place like South Florida? Is there a viable market? Are there enough private insurers for people to turn to? Dr. Parrish?
I listened to testimony from former Senator Locke Burt, and he made a really compelling case to me that not only was there private insurers willing to take that risk, that in some cases, and his testimony was quite a few cases, people could get private insurance cheaper than a similar policy than they could at Citizens.
Really?
Yes.
Yes. And in fact, this mechanism, if we pass this bill, will encourage private insurers to come back into Florida because they will now see that they can compete against mm-hmm. Citizens ultimately.
One of the things about Citizens, you talk about competition, is that because its rates were so low, it was actually, you know, more appealing for people to go into there. Private right. insurers couldn't compete, and subsequently that's part of the reason why a lot of them left. So for new customers coming in, they would have to pay actuarially sound rates. At the same time we're doing this, though, as I mentioned earlier, existing customers are seeing some rate increases, you know, even despite the glide path that we had, which was, you know, your rate can't go up more than 10% a year. There are things like depopulation, which is, you know, us trying to move people out of Citizens into the private market. There are other exceptions, I think, kind of like what we talked about earlier, which is, okay, we're going to reevaluate your home, we're going to redo it, and we're going to reset your rate. So, you know, and those are going up probably more than 10% for some people. So, you know, how many people does, you know, that kind of fixed 10% a year really apply to at the end of the day when we're making so many changes? Do we even know?
I don't know. Maybe the people at Citizens do, but I don't know that number.
It's so by territory, by the insured. I don't think – I certainly couldn't make an estimate. Perhaps the Office of Insurance Regulation could.
Also in this bill is the fate of the CAT Fund, which is the insurance for the insurers. There's about $8 billion sitting up there. Under this proposal, the amount of money that we could possibly bond up to goes down from $17 billion to $14 billion. How does that reduce liabilities?
The CAT Fund was set up to be an amount of reinsurance for the state of Florida to stabilize the insurance market, which it does. Let's say we had a storm that exhausted the full size of the CAT Fund, that's $17 billion. They would go to the market and bond up to, you know, the $8.5 billion that they don't need and pay the claims. And you would get assessments just like you're still paying now from the 2005 storm. So most people don't realize that your homeowner's policy, your business policy, your boat, your motorcycle, all of those, whether you were here in 2005 or not, you're paying those assessments on those claims. What the big issue is, though, for Florida is if a first storm comes through and exhausts that amount of cash, which is substantial, no doubt. $8.5 billion is a lot of money. But once that gets exhausted, your second storm, when there are no reserves.
Our max is, you know, one storm hits us and it gets us for the $8 billion, and it even gets us for the full $17 now, right? How does that compare to maybe what we saw? I think the great marker was Hurricane Andrew back in the 90s. But even more recently than that was Francis Charlie Ivan back in 04, 05, you know, when they literally hit every single major metropolitan area in our state. How much did that storm season cost us?
I don't know the numbers, but I do know probably a good number to use for Andrew right now in today's dollars is about $25 billion. I've seen different numbers estimated, but $25, $27 billion is that number.
Could we handle another Andrew?
Well, if we did have a, let's say, $25 billion storm, it depends on where it hits, and not for the CAT Fund reason, but for Citizens' reason, because their risk is concentrated mostly in, you know, the southeast of Florida and in the other concentrations in the Tampa Bay area. So if it hits there, then Citizens is at much higher risk. The CAT Fund in a $25 billion storm, of course, the reserves would be exhausted. They would have to go to the market and bond money, and I'm sure they could get the money, But what we don't know is at what interest rate, because that will depend on how many other entities are borrowing at the same time to cover damages.
Gotcha.
And Lynn, as I was saying earlier, Citizens Insurance doesn't charge actuarially sound rates, and that's because they have the assessment authority. Mm-hmm. So let's use your scenario and say a big storm of the Andrew size hits. Many people who hold Citizens Insurance don't know that they could be assessed up to 45% of their premium. So now you really have sticker shock that people are talking about now, oh, I don't want to see my insurance rates go up. You would have extreme rate increases plus the assessments plus the bonding. Now we all see a major hit to our insurance policy premiums.
Because policyholders get assessed first.
Absolutely.
There's a process for the assessment.
And then the rest of us get assessed after that. And, you know, the rating company AM Best, which is considered the standard for insurance, considers the catastrophic fund, that gap, to be phantom insurance. Hmm. And it's just plainly not ethical for our legislature to say we're going to have people believing they have coverage when in fact we don't. And you would see, if we had the maximum hit on it, you'd very likely see a lot of insurance companies have to go belly up, and then people wouldn't have their claims paid on time. And you set up these scenarios, and again, you're putting in place a position where people say, well, I don't have confidence in these insurance companies or in my government. I don't have confidence in what they're going to be able to do for me. And I think that's why the legislature has a golden opportunity right now. We've been told by the insurance advocate for ratepayers, Robin Westcott, that if we make these changes to the catastrophic fund, it will have little to no effect on people's rates, because right now the reinsurance markets of the world are well off, and they're prepared to put funds into these kinds of mechanisms. They will do that, and it should not cost ratepayers a significant, if any, increase. And so the timing's right, and we all know we've been skating for years now, avoiding that big hurricane, and we can't continue to keep skating and presume that we'll be lucky enough not to get hit.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me here on It's About Florida. It was a great conversation.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're listening to It's About Florida. We've been speaking with Florida Tax Watch's Dr. Jerry Parrish and Florida Wildlife Federation's Jane Lyles about why they believe Florida state-run Citizens Property Insurance Corporation needs to be downsized. Next, we speak with John Thompson, a South Florida resident and member of the group Property Holders of Florida, who says the state is unfairly punishing homeowners in areas of the state that large insurers have abandoned. Mr. Thompson, welcome to It's About Florida. You are opposed to Senate Bill 1770. That's the big Citizens Property Insurance overhaul proposal that is in the Senate right now. Talk to me a little bit about why you're against this.
I am here to tell you that, you know, as an individual that's been canceled by four private insurers within the last 10 years, that I am poised to perhaps be taken out of Citizens by an unregulated surplus lines company. There's been so many proposals that have floated around out there, but I have the potential to be taken out of Citizens and put into an unproven, untested insurance carrier. And should that carrier, for some reason, go belly up, not be able to pay claims, then I would have no choice but to return to Citizens. And in which time, at that point in time, I would be considered a new customer of Citizens. So that's just one point in particular that disturbs me, that first and foremost, I didn't ask to be put in Citizens. So now they want to depop and take people out of Citizens with just really no bona fide tested insurance carriers that really want the policies. Look, let's face it, State Farm, Allstate, the big ones, if they're not writing, they're not coming back, so where are you going to put me? So we're going to incentivize, and we're going to have all of these hedge fund companies come in, start up insurance companies, and perhaps want to take my policy and not provide me the protection.
One of the big arguments, you know, for property insurance reform, especially dealing with citizens, is, you know, the people who are inland are subsidizing the people who choose to make their homes on the coast. You live in Hernando County, and you are not technically on the coast, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm approximately 7 miles inland. And what I'm getting at is that I was told that they were leaving my area to mitigate hurricane exposure. Now, you know, fast forward a few years to 2010, 2011, and then all of a sudden, because I'm in Hernando, now I'm being punished because they say we're in Sinkhole Alley. You know, Hurricane Sinkhole was the moniker given to the area that I live. So while I don't live on the coast, I was punished for it. The insurers made sure that my home became waterfront, you know, not by choice, but by virtue of telling me, you know, first they raised the rates, and then they canceled me. So not only was I punished once, I was punished twice. Now I'm going to be punished a third time because I'm in Citizens, and I'm being told that I'm being subsidized by those in the Orlando area, that their premiums are higher because I've chosen to live where I am. So you're absolutely correct. No, I don't live on the water.
Wow, that's a pretty big difference.
It is a big difference. It's a 500. And in my county, you know, Hernando County, again, unlike most areas, you know, this is unusual. But, you know, we've got to take a good look at what's going on here. A 96 page bill, and, you know, and Hernando and Pasco, again, with the sinkhole, you know, the claim is that the sinkhole situation is why we don't have coverages in Hernando anymore. Well, you know, that can be true to a certain extent, but I remind you, and I say this strongly, that I was canceled long before the sinkhole phenomena, as they call it, started. So I just don't get where we're going with this big 1770. It's another overcorrection here. Now, you know, the legislature is, you know, as I say, cherry picking. They're allowing, for some reason, Monroe County to be excluded. And look, my friends in Monroe County, I can get it. I understand they're exposed to you know, wind, rain, hurricane more so than in my area. But I don't understand, you know, why we're carving and picking and choosing who is excluded and who does this or whatever. You know, at the end of the day, I believe this reform that we're doing, again, is an overcorrection. Senate Bill 408 2 years ago that passed was supposed to correct this. It has not. This system wasn't designed for them to be handling 1.5 million policies.
So it sounds like, you know, you feel that it's a catch-22. On one side, Citizens was not designed to be as big as it is. On the other hand, the efforts to scale it down could possibly have a really bad effect on homeowners and potential homeowners. So what is the state, you know, to do, given the fact that we still don't, after years of efforts, have, you know, other insurance companies willing to come into the state and write policies? And by insurance companies, I'm talking about, you know, the big ones.
The fact of it is they are writing in other areas. The private insurers are writing, you know, but they're just not writing in. They choose not to write in Hernando and Pasco counties. And this legislation that's being written is that they're choosing to exclude Monroe County. Look, let's face it. I want a seat at the table. I want my voice to be heard. But I would be kidding anybody if I could say that I have the solutions and the answers. But what I don't want to happen is what we continue to see happen is the insurance lobby going to Tallahassee, trying to come up with solutions that frankly just aren't working. I would like to see a novel solution here is to have all the stakeholders come to the table instead of just the insurance lobby. You know, I'm a homeowner. I want my voice to be heard. I don't want the insurance industry speaking on my behalf, frankly, because they left me. You know, why should State Farm and Allstate and Bankers and all those insurance carriers who left me high and dry, have a stake in determining what the solution is, because they were part of the problem. I just don't buy it.
Well, Mr. Thompson, thank you so much for joining me here on It's About Florida. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thanks to our guests, Dr. Jerry Parrish with Florida Tax Watch, Jay Lyles with the Florida Wildlife Federation, and John Thompson with the group Policyholders of Florida. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. I'm Lynn Hatter. Ryan Bank and Taylor Cox provided technical assistance. Please join us again next week for more discussion on the issues impacting our state.